Well, it's working out very well.
Yeah. So just before, essentially I want to do the Ramban today, but before I do that, I just want to finish up that last point from the Tosus and Shavuos on Beis Amid Aleph. It's Yosef Shabbos. So basically the problem Tosus is dealing with is, why do you have the Ani and the Asher? Same problem. So the first answer was, it's Derech Hotzah deal. Okay, which we explained. Second answer is the Malchi Garua, which is like our Tosos and Shabbos on Beis Manav, Malchi Garua problem, but he tries to prove that it's Malchi. Since Malchi Garua, he says you need Ani and Asher. But he proves that it's Malchi Garua from two points. One, from the fact that you need a Pasuk to teach me how Tzah is Asar in the first place, whereas by the other Malchis, you don't need a Pasuk. It's just because it's in the Mishkan. And secondly, within the Toldos, you don't just say, once you have an Av, automatically all the Toldos come along, like by regular Av. Rather, you need to find every one of the Toldos in the Mishkan. Okay? So we said, the Garua idea is, according to Tosos, at least the way I understood it, is not the fact that you're not accomplishing anything. Because if that's the idea of why it's Garua, then it's nothing to do with Rishas Yechad, Rishas Harab, and just say, because you're not accomplishing anything. But rather, the idea of Garua is because the structure is a deficient structure, because it differentiates between Rishuyos, where really any change in location should have been Hotzah, right, the productivity of it. So it's Garua in structure, because there's artificial line is being drawn. So if that's the case, why that you prove from the fact that you need, that you have all these, every single Toldo you have to find in the Mishkan, you have to find the Mishkan, because they're aligned, so you can't just say follow the productivity. But the fact that that you need a pasuk to teach me Hotzah, how does that fit into this? Does that fit into this thing? That seems to be pointing to the other idea of a Garua, which is the fact that it's not an entrance, it's not really productive, lacks in its productivity. But how do these things go together? Right? That was the question. Okay, so anything, let's say like this. See, there's something you could say, is that it's funny, the whole idea of Garua is funny. I think it's something that's bothersome about this whole idea of the Malachi Garua, this structure which is just limited and cut into pieces, and the productivity is not found in the productivity, but the Torah artificially like limits it, right? I mean, it's something funny about it, right? But it could be Tosis helping with that a little bit, which is that, see, if it were the case that Hotza'ah was just like any other malacha, it was a real, legitimate malacha, okay? And then the Torah came along and started limiting it and saying, you know what, it's only Asar under these conditions, that would be funny. Like, to say that Bishul is only Asar and Rosh Hashanah, that would be a strange thing. Okay? That would be difficult. Or one type of difficulty. I don't know if it would be impossible, but it would be one type of a difficulty. But Tosus is saying is that if you really just follow the natural lines of productivity of Malacha, really you wouldn't have Hotzah in the first place. Hotzah isn't really productive, okay? Because you're not really changing the object. It's just a change in location. Location isn't a real change. And he shows that because you need a pasuk. If there were no pasuk, even though you know the idea is of Malacha's productivity, you would not have posited Hotzah. Hotzah doesn't naturally fit. It kind of, if you once you tell me it from a pasuk, you'll say the Torah is saying is that kind of productivity also counts. I mean, that's productive enough. But without a pasuk, you'd never know that the Isser of Malacha on Shabbos is going to extend to that degree of productivity, that type of productivity. Like the Tosus at the Amdan Beis called it like a Me'ena Malacha or something like that. He says it's like Domel Malacha Gemura. It's similar to Malacha. It means it partakes of the quality of productivity, but it's lacking because it's not a real actual change. It's just a change in location. But the Torah included it. Okay, for whatever reason, even though naturally it would not have been included, the Torah, through a pasuk, included it. But the Torah did not include it in a wholesale manner. It included it in a limited form, in a Garua form. You know what I mean? So the idea of Garua is that the structure is Garua. It didn't include, this thing really doesn't have the full productivity. It has a partial productivity. But the Torah is recognizing this partial productivity as coming under Malacha. Okay, it's coming under Malacha. But it didn't recognize that category of productivity in a full-blown manner. But it limited that kind of a thing. And it limited the degree to which it's going to allow for that kind of productivity. When that productivity exists in the major form or whatever it is, then it did it. Or for whatever reason, it limited it. But the idea is that it's not limiting something which, so to speak, naturally should have existed, and it's just making an exception. It's kind of limiting the inclusion. It's really also wouldn't have been a malacha, but it's including it. It's saying, well, it didn't include it in a whole-handed manner. It included it in a garua kind of a manner. You know what I mean? So you're saying that helps out was the idea of garua. Right? So he's trying to show that it's garua and proving that it's garua. He's saying it would be hard to say that it's a garua structure for a real legitimate malacha that didn't need a pasuk. It's just part of the malacha Shabbos. Then what Torah just cut out the thing, it said even though it's really productive, it says mutar anyways, but it's malacha. But the thing is, no, that since this thing really shouldn't have been malacha naturally, but it's only be through the pasuk teaching me that it's good, that it's included in malacha. But then you see that even in the inclusion, it's only including it in certain types of instances which were in the Mishkan, only in a limited type of an inclusion. You know what I mean? It's a limited inclusion. So that's where the idea of garua fits in. I mean, it's a limitation within the inclusion of Hotzah as being productive. The reason why he's limited in productivity, I think, is because the change is really one of, like, see, location is like an accidental thing of an object, accidental property of an object. There's the object and then where it happens to be located. You know what I mean? So you're changing its location. Now, its location becomes significant in terms of functionality, but it's not really, the object hasn't really changed. I mean, like, location is like a property of an object in terms of function, but it's not really like part of the object itself. I mean, the structure of the object itself, you know? So the saying is that malacha, I guess, in terms of the natural idea of malacha, is where you're actually taking objects in the world and really changing them in a concrete way. But here, the change is in like a change of like a, where it's limited to just a property, but the object is the same object as it was. I think they quoted it, or one of the footnotes of quote said, it said, Meikara chayfetz vahashta chayfetz. It was the same exact thing. It used to be an object, now it's still an object. It's the same thing. What changed? You know, where it is, where is like an, is something apart from the thing. It's like an accident, you know? So the thing is like, that itself is a, like a lack, is a limited kind of productivity. Now Torah is saying that to include that, that's also meets, you know, is included. Torah is telling you that's also included. That's Gzeiras HaKasam. But it could have now said, therefore, include the whole realm of changing location. But it's saying it didn't do that. It only chose, so to speak, the upper half of that class or certain portions of that thing. You know what I mean? So it's saying, since the whole thing is being included for some reason, so to speak, let's say, talking scripturally, the Torah wanted to include, even though it's really isn't, the Torah, for whatever reason, wanted it to be included in Lech HaShabbos. But it didn't necessarily want it in its full-blown form. It only, so to speak, included that which it really wanted. Let's say it's because Mishkan, it was very significant, the Mishkan. So, I mean, Mishkan, they had it, it was very significant, the Mishkan, so it wanted it to be included in Malacha. So, but it only needed to include those parts which was given the Mishkan, or those things which it did in the Mishkan. So it didn't need to include the whole thing, and it doesn't have to exclude the whole thing because it's not naturally Malacha in the first place. It doesn't have to exclude it, it's just a limited inclusion. So it's easier to understand the limited inclusion than an exclusion from the thing itself. Makes it more palatable. Okay, so we know the Ramban now. The Ramban is, we'll see, there are interesting points here in the Ramban. He takes up Tosfos, although he brings him down a little bit more elaborately than our Tosfos has it. And we'll have to see. And then he, as we go on, you see, he ends up attacking Tosfos. He ends up going away from Tosfos. But just take it slow. So basically, I'm going to jump. It's in the Ramban and Daf Beis and Aleph, I guess. It says, I'm just going to read certain parts. I'm going to take some highlights or certain relevant parts. But I'm starting with Ikad Dekashalai. Okay? The main part is really Vim Tomar. Kroy Gufayim in Lamali. But I just want to get some of the background. He says, Ikad Dekashalai. Hechem on the Ramban, Hotzah Spishtayim. Hashem Hotzah Chadu. Why the Ramban count Hotzah? As Ani and Ashir is two. It's the same thing. It's also Tzah. Who cares if it's Ani and Ashir? Okay. So I'm jumping now. With Tosfos Rabbeinu Tzarfatim Zal Amru, the Tosfos says, L'kach manu osam chacham mishtayim. This is why it counts as two. Mishun de Pagin, Hurachlanu Rishtayim. Mikshay Koy Nafkalan. He says, the reason why this omission is counted as two? Because the Pasuk you see counted as two. You had to learn that from two separate Pesukim. So you see, apparently they're very different, because you see you needed two different Pesukim. Okay? And he quotes the Pesukim. So you see, one of them is Otsalani, one is Otsalavai. So since the Pasuk needed two, so therefore the Mishnah counts it as two. Which pushes the question. Okay, so then I'm jumping again. Is Vim Tomar Kroy Gufay Ulamali? Okay, so you're not really answering the question. You're saying the Mishnah counts it as two because the Pasuk has it as two, and they're two Limudim. He says, yeah, but now hold on a second. Why do you need two Limudim? Same problem. You haven't really answered it because Ani and Ashi are still the same thing. So why should you need two Pesukim? It's a harder question. Even Mishnah, you can at least you can give stylistic explanations why you count it as two. Pasuk, you're telling me you have two Pesukim. Nah, you really got to give me a Chiddush. You know? So he says like this. Trifi. This is the main part here. Tzagadai tachamina, I would think Hotzah Chiddush. Hotzah is really a Chiddush. Why is it a Chiddush? Shebar Sos HaYachid Mutar Lisa Masa Gadol. In a shulsa yachid, you're allowed to carry around a heavy thing. Couch. Move your couch from all around inside your house all day long. Be very heavy. Big thing. You're allowed to do it. V'imhotzi l'rshulsa rabim ki grogeres. Chayev. But if you take a little fig and you carry it, or date, whatever, you could date, I think, and you carry it into l'rshulsa rabim, then you're chayev. So that's pretty strange. This is a huge thing in Rishas Yachid Yer Patar, but you carry a tiny thing in Rishas Rabim, Yichayev. Masha'en kem Shavos Malachos, but you don't have this by other Malachos. She'en Chalukos B'Rishuyos. They're not differentiated based upon the Rishos that they're in. Ela Yisuran Rachmas Atzman. Rather, they're just Asar in their own right. Okay, that's basically his point, but I'm just going to read a little further. But that's where he says, the whole of the Chiddush is a sin. That's why it's a Chiddush. Now, since it's a Chiddush, ain't l'chapoy, l'chidush b'vad. So you only know that which is the Chiddush, that which Torah posits. V'alachos akuros hain. Akuros, v'ain l'vein n'sum ezo. They're like, akuros is dislocated, kind of, like pulled out. Right? Like akuros, like to uproot it. They're like uprooted halachos. And you can't learn one from the other. It's like they're independent halachos. Like in the Toldos, this is one halachos, another halachos. You can't start generalizing from one to the other. So I guess maybe if you have a girsa akaros, maybe akara means like barren. You know, like a woman's an akara, she's barren. Maybe it means like you can't, there's no children. It doesn't bear any children, so to speak. You know what I mean? It's like it exists in its own right. You can't start, you know, like. We see it called the Binyanav. Binyanav is like a father. You know, it's a father of the categories. So like if it's an Akara, it means it has no children. I mean, you can't derive any halachas from it. Right? Binyanav is like a generalization. So that's, I guess it means Akara. It means it's like it's a mother without any children. I mean, you can't derive any halachas. Either way, same idea. The Fikach, Persian Akot, are same. So therefore, you have to learn out both of them, Nani and Lashir. He says, but umihu, ho'ol malachas achas, ilo nimnim b'chal avos malachas b'shtayim. But since they're really one malacha, so it's only counted as one av in the count. If you write him, they'll give me a mishkan. If I do it twice a mishkan, from do misham, misha shemandu luma, shoshim mishman malachas and sharos. So he proves it because you see that hotzos in the mishkan, and yet you see you don't learn from the mishkan. You need a pasuk. You're saying why? Because this is a chiddush. This is not just the normal productivity. That's like kind of what we're just talking about. The remaining nine brekas are regular. My the b'shav is koi. Okay, fine. Let's go further. Okay. So let's go back. Okay, so that's his main point is, let's focus on the main point. So why is Hotzah Chiddush? It sounds a little bit like Rashi, like those, a little bit. But he talks a little bit more. And he says because in Rosh Hashanah it's mutter to carry a heavy thing. And in Rosh Hashanah you can't even carry out like a little grogers. He says, and also, as opposed to another malachos, which are not differentiated based upon Rosh Hashanah, but they're just Asar Machos Latzman. Okay, question. So one question Gary's saying is basically, what is he talking about? Other malachos aren't chiluk and reshuyos, but they're asar malachos atzmon. I mean, first of all, Gary says is every malacha has its pratim, has specific halachos limitations. And it's true, not reshuyos, but whatever, they have their own things. Bishul is a certain way; you have to be machal ben Jerusalem. I don't know whatever halachos you have. Every there's no malacha that doesn't have details, but more so is. What does he want there to be? That Bishul is only in Rishas Yachid? Only Rishas Rav? What is... has nothing to do with Rishis Yachid, Rishis Rabim. Hotzah is changing the location of the thing, so it's in Rishis Yachid, Rishis Rabim. But what does he want there to be? What's he looking for? He wants to see all the malachos being chalik in the Rishuyos? Like, the reason why Hotzah is chalik in Rishuyos is because that the very nature of Hotzah relates to place and location. But it would be totally extraneous. It would be crazy to have an idea of location being brought in by other malachos. What sewing has, it depends where you sew. It's not just saying Hotzah is only in Rishuyos Yachad or Hotzah is only in Rishuyos Rabim. It's saying it's Hotzah is from Rishuyos Yachad to Rishuyos Rabim. So that's like you could envision saying that by any other malacha, and the fact that you don't have it means Hotzah is so different from everything else because Hotzah is in Rishuyos Yachad to Rishuyos Rabim, but other malachas aren't. It just seems like, well, what's he talking about? How could you even envision any other malacha have anything to do with Rishuyos? Right? That's a problem. Right? What about the first part? He says, right? That's kind of like Tosa, because Tosa said, Mali, what's the difference if you carry from Shazel to Shazel, or if you carry from Shazel to Shazel, right? But what's he adding in? He's just adding in this Masagodal and Grogers, right? So what do you think about that? The problem is that the Malacha, like, what do you mean a big heavy object? So what, it's harder to carry? What's the difference between a big Grogers or, I mean, that sounds like a guy who doesn't know anything about Malacha. Asking Kasha is like, I carry something heavy and I'm working so hard carrying around this big heavy thing in my house, that's not a malacha, but if I carry it outside, it is a malacha. And so it's, yeah, you don't know what a malacha is. Malacha is productivity. The productivity is you're changing the location of the object. And when you bring it across the border, it may be a small thing, but you're changing the location of the object. But when you're bringing a big heavy thing, then it's not. What does heavy and light have anything to do with? What is big and small, or masa gadol, or a big heavy thing, or a little thing? I mean, well, that's nothing to do with that. I mean, we were talking about Rishis Yachid, Rishis Rabim. I understand that chiluk. That's what we said in Tosfos, is that they're both changing place. You know, so how do you draw the line, Rishis Yachid, Rishis Rabim? But it just sounds like he's trying to make the problem worse. So the Ramban's elaborating. Right? Elaborating by putting in this thing of, not only is it mutter to do from Rishis Yachid, Rishis Rabim, even a heavy thing. Heavy, what does heavy have anything to do with malacha? And not only is Rishis Yachid, Rishis Rabim is a problem, even a light thing. So it's a light thing. This whole thing, it's like he's adding in something which is alien to the idea of malacha. Like Gary says, like malacha isn't, the Rebbe said this, right? Malacha isn't hard work. It's not saying you can't work on Shabbos. It's like technological productivity or whatever. Right? So hard work doesn't make something a malacha. You could do a lot of, you can lift weights all day. It doesn't make it a malacha. It'd be very hard. That's not malacha. Malacha is where you're accomplishing something. So if you can tell me change the location is accomplishing, and not changing the Rishuyos is not accomplishing, then who cares if it's heavy or if it's light? You know what I mean? Like, it just sounds like he's trying to make the problem worse, but it doesn't seem to be. Sounds like this whole Ramban sounds like very, like, it's like trying to make the argument strong. In this case, and the other one also. In the other malachas, you don't see it. It's just like if you question these points, it just doesn't really, you don't see it. It just sounds like he's just giving, like, arguments, you know what I mean? Like, just trying to give strong arguments, like, that sound stronger than they really are. Sounds like. Which indicates that we're missing something. Right? I mean, it's indicative of the fact that either he's learning Tosas differently than us, or he's putting into something more here, or, I mean, something's going on here. You know, because we would not have written Tosas this way. I wouldn't have. You know? Let me spell the problem. I mean, the problem about this thing is that he's saying the other malachos aren't chilik and rishiyos, right? But in Hotzah, the halacha is you can't carry from a Rishis Yachid to a Rishis Rabim. So what do you want to have? In cooking, you can't cook from a Rishis Yachid to a Rishis Rabim? Like, it's altogether not shayach by any other malacha. Like, what do you want there to be? Say it's only in Rishis Yachid, but that's not the halacha by Hotzah. Halacha is not only in Rishis Yachid. It's carrying from Rishis Yachid to Rishis Rabim. So, like, what do you want that to, how's that supposed to carry over to other malachas? That is what Hotzah is, changing location. What location from Rishis Yachid to Rishis Rabim? So now, how is that going to squeeze into other malachas? This thing is a step. I mean, this is just a way to approach this thing, is that we would never make the comparison to say, just like Hotzah is from Rishis Yachid to Rishis Rabim, so too Bishul is only Rishis Yachid. It doesn't make any sense. Right? But the Ramban apparently would be willing to make that move. and he's bothered by the, he's saying the fact that the Torah doesn't make such a move means Hotzah is totally different, right? But we wouldn't say that. We just say it's because Hotzah you're carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. That's what Hotzah is. And Bishul, the thing doesn't make any sense. But the Ramban apparently holds that that would be an appropriate comparison. So what are we holding different than the Ramban? You know, I mean, why are we not willing just to even entertain that possibility? And what must the Ramban not disagree with us on so that he's willing to entertain that? You know what I mean? Because what's our false premise about these Rishios that's causing us to find difficulty in understanding what the Ramban's talking about? Must be we're making a certain assumption here that Hotzah, that this thing only belongs by Hotzah for some reason, and therefore we can't imagine extending it. But it must be we have some false premise about this idea of Rishios and Hotzah. Because if we had the right idea, it should be able to be extended. But since we have the wrong idea, so let's just spell out what's our wrong idea, if we don't have the right idea. We're assuming that the idea of the way Rishios comes into Hotzah is, so to speak, in the very productivity of Hotzah. That the productivity of Hotzah is changing the location of the object, and Rishios Yachad, Rishios Rabim is a type, a major type of a change of the location, and therefore that's the productivity of Hotzah. Productivity of Hotzah is changing from Rishios Yachad to Rishios Rabim. Right? And that's where Rishios fits into Malchus Hotzah. If that's the idea, then you simply, that's impossible to apply to Bishul, because Bishul has nothing to do with changing location, or doesn't do with location. You know what I mean? So if the concept of the limitation of Rishios of Hotzah, to Rishios Rishios Rabim, is because that is the productivity, that the change of location, that's the productivity of Hotzah. It's like intrinsic to the indigenous to Hotzah, this idea that it's a change in location, that type of change in location, but that's where Hotzah, Rishios Rabim, fits in, then it's impossible to apply it to somewhere, anywhere else. But it sounds like Ramban is saying, no, really, in terms of Hotzah, it could be anywhere. Change of location is change of location. Who really cares? Anywhere. Oh, but the Torah arbitrarily came in and just said, you know what? Only your Rishios Rabim. Redact. Only your Rishios Rabim. Now, in a similar manner, the Torah could have just arbitrarily come in and said, you know what, Bishul? Only in Rishios Yachad. Bishul only Rishios Rabim. I mean, like he's... Because once you say that the limitation of Rishios Rabim is based upon the concepts of Hotzah, and the types of changes of location of objects and things like that, and then he has no kasha to extend to other malachas. Then, you know what I mean? But the fact that he's willing to do that means that he's learning that in terms of the productivity of Hotzah, does not legitimize having this halacha versus Yachad versus Rab. It really should not have been. The only way to explain it is by like an artificial thing. The Torah is just coming in and saying, you know what? Only Yachad versus Rab. So now it could have done it elsewhere. Okay? I'm just deducing. I have to explain his position. I'm just making a step, but I think this is a good deduction. He can't be holding that. And that we are holding that. That's what we think of. That's what we always think of when we think of Hotzah. Changing it from Rishios Yachad to Rishios Rabim. That's the whole productivity. It's outside objects and inside objects, something like that. So that doesn't make any sense in any of the malacha. But it must be that that's why I'm having a hard time with him. But he must not be holding that. He must be holding, and it sounds crazy what he's holding, but this is what he must be holding. He must be holding. Once you're going to try to make sense of the idea of a social shaman in the world of Hotzah, productivity of Hotzah, then you're never going to be able to carry it over to any other malacha. You know what I mean? I'm saying it must be he's holding that it's not that. It's just like an artificial limitation. Okay? I mean, why he's doing that is because you have to see, you know, where he's coming from is you have to see. But that's for that answer, I think you have to deduce that. Okay. Now maybe we should turn our attention to the other question. You know what I mean? Like that's what you have to kind of have to work, you know, trying to build a picture of what the Ramban's talking about. But I think that's why I like this question first, because I think there's a deduction you can make without even answering it and getting the full svara. The question forces a deduction in the Ramban. You know what I mean? It forces you to deduce what the Ramban is not holding. And now you're kind of looking now for what he is holding, but you know what I mean? You're eliminating a false premise in the Ramban. You know what I mean? Now you have to kind of find what are his true premises. You know what I mean? But it forces the answer. The Masa God, the Masa Ko, you have to... It's a different kind of a question. You have to... You could do maybe a similar thing there also, but I feel like it's... So let's turn to that. What's he doing now with the Masa Gadol and the Grogers? What does Masa Gadol and Grogers have to do with that? Why would I think it's worse to carry a heavy thing versus the light thing? Because it's harder. The idea The idea is, like we're talking about, like, you have a bookcase and you have a coffee mug. And they both have a location. Coffee mug's location is right here on the table, and the bookcase's location is in the corner of the room. Okay? But they both have a location. But in one of them, the location relates to them differently. Okay? I'd say in a certain sense, the location of the coffee mug is more accidental. In the bookcase is more essentially related to it. It's not the essence of the bookcase, but more essentially, also in it, is that the coffee mug, every second has a different location. You know what I mean? Its location is like, when I say, where is the location of the coffee mug? I say, well, let me check. I'm not really sure. For a minute, you know, it keeps moving around. I mean, location is really totally like an accidental thing. It just happens to be where I have it at this exact moment. You know what I mean? But when you have a heavy object, so heavy objects by their nature are not movable. I mean, you could move them. But I mean, in your house, for instance, your bed has a location. It really has a location. Its location is exactly these are lines, you know? It has a location. It's not just like an accident of your bed. Heavy things have locations. You know, a refrigerator has a location. It's not just where it happens to be. No, it has a location. It's true you had to decide where its location would be. But now that it has a location, if I move it, you say I'm really accomplishing something. Location was there. Now its location is here. Its location is like a permanent property of the thing. Not 100% permanent, but it's a real concrete characteristic of the thing. Heavy thing, because of its difficulty to move, its location could become like a property of the thing. I mean, but you don't say a coffee mug has a property of location, because it's probably the properties of the mug are going to be changing every second. I mean, so it's constantly changing properties. I mean, that's, you don't say that because of the fact that the property has no qiyum to it, there's no permanence. It's not a property of the thing. It's just an act of where it happens to be. You wouldn't call the property the fact that the coffee mug is on the table right now is a property in the coffee mug. It's just the thing happens to be on the table now. You know, it's a relationship between the coffee mug and table, a temporary relationship. But you'd say a property of the refrigerator is that it's in my kitchen. And it's right there in my kitchen because of its permanence. Property has to have some kiyum. You can't have a property that's very temporary. You know what I mean? So the saying is that if you really wanted to get to the real, you want to really talk about the productivity of Hotzah, I'll tell you where that is, by heavy items. I don't care if there's an Ershasiyachid or Sarab, who cares? Bottom line is, if you have a refrigerator and it was on this side of the room and you move it to that side of the room, that's productivity of Hotzah. I'm really changing the location of a Chafetza. The location is really a property in the Chafetza. It was the refrigerator of there, and now it's a change. You really changed it. Whoa, you really did something to the house. You really did something to the refrigerator. You changed it. It was here, now it's there. But if you talk about a coffee mug, a Grogeras, oh, the Grogeras has a location? Well, the Grogeras? I take a Grogeras? Oh, it's very nice. I brought it from Shiach, which is a problem. The Grogeras didn't really have a location in the first place. It was never really in Shiach, it was never in Shiach, the whole thing was like, Makom isn't really even a property of a light object. You know what I mean? So if you really want to talk about the productivity of Makom, it has absolutely nothing to do with Rishos. If anything, it has to do with the nature of the object. Certain objects lend themselves to Hotzah, and certain objects don't lend themselves to the productivity of Hotzah. Heavy objects versus light. I don't know where you draw the line exactly, but there is a line, and certainly the refrigerator has a location, and a fig doesn't. You know what I mean? So what I'm not saying is that if you took the natural lines of, you want to take malacha as one of the categories of productivity, then I'll tell you exactly what it should have been. Heavy objects. Anywhere. Who really cares? Change the location. But you see, the Torah totally ignored that whole thing. It basically took the height of the highest productivity of Hotzah is taking a heavy item and moving it from one corner of the room to the other corner of the room. And that is not Hotzah. And the something which totally is absent the productivity of Hotzah, moving a Grogeras from Shevach to Ravim, it made into Malach Hotzah, and it's Nisdaraisa. So the thing is like it's like a backwards world here. It's not just that the Torah limited the productivity of Hotzah, it actually made that which is not productive into Malach Hotzah, and that which is productive into Motar. You know what I mean? So the Tosas, what the Rambam is not saying, I mean, this is, I think, what throws you off. When you think of a heavy thing, you think of how hard it's going to be to lift it, how hard it's going to be to move it. Because, you know, and you think that's your old idea of malacha before you figured out that work doesn't mean work. Work just means productivity. You know what I mean? But you interpret that's what he's saying. But he's not saying that at all. Heavy is because of the nature of Otsa, that's where heavy comes in. You know, because of the nature of Otsa and the idea of the relationship of an object to Makam. You know what I mean? Oh, so if this is the case, he's saying that really, in terms of the productivity of Otsa, it should be heavy and nothing to do with Rishas. Right? Nothing to do with Rishas. The productivity should be heavy items changing location. But you see, apparently, in Malachas Otsa, the Torah simply said, so to speak, forget about the productivity. And the Torah just, so to speak, created like a Maisa Esser. Like a Maisa Otsa. Okay, what do you mean, Maisa Otsa? It defined like a certain source of Maisa, of carrying something from Zeyachal to Shazarab, and said, that's defined as Otsa. You know what I mean? It just created like an arbitrary Gatsura Samaisa. It didn't like go into the productivity. It ignored it. Productivity has nothing to do with Rishiyos. Rishiyos has nothing to do with productivity of Otsa. Productivity of Otsa has the weight of the heaviness of the object. But it simply created like a Maisa of Otsa. What's the Maisa of Otsa? To change the location of an object. What kind of change? Just change it 5 feet? No, from Rishiyos. That's the tzuras of Maisa which the Torah gave to Otsa. It took Otsa out of the world of productivity and just gave it like a fixed tzuras of Maisa. And we gave it a fixed tzuras of Maisa, which is based upon Rishiyos. You know what I mean? But, he says, the Torah could have said, you know what, forget about the productivity of Bishul, and let's just create a fixed tzuras of Maisa to do this thing, and it's just a rabbi. I mean, so it's equally inappropriate in terms of the productivity of Hotzah or Bishul to be related to Rishiyos. It has nothing to do with it. You know what I mean? But it's just the Torah was creating, like for whatever reason, like an artificial Tzuras of Maisa on Hotzah. It ignored the thing and just created Tzuras of Maisa. What is the Machzah Hotzah? This is exact Maisa. Well, and it doesn't even have to do with, has to do with where it is, where it's taking place. What does the Maisa do with where it's taking place? But that's that is the way to define the Maisa. So saying they could have done that by other malachos, but it didn't do that, because other malachos follow the natural productivity, and the natural productivity of a thing, location, has nothing to do with it. You know what I mean? So you're saying, oh, so you see the Torah is really just, so to speak, that's what it means by halachas akuros, is the Torah just creating like a Maisa hotza. See, normally a malacha has a pre-existing concept of productivity, so now you could start juggling, or you're playing with it, because you now have a concept. But here it's just creating like a Maisa Esser. So what are you going to say? You created this Maisa is also now another Maisa is going to be also. You just can't do that. You don't know. It's creating like a Maisa Esser. It's defined. This Maisa is a Maisa Esser. So I don't know what to say. You know what I mean? The idea of Tzursa Maisa is like, it's a Maisa of carrying something. Let's say you say the Maisa of carrying something. Now, carrying it from here to there, from this Rishus Rabim, it's just an artificial thing. What does that have anything to do with it? Carrying it from here to there. You should just say carrying it if you want. Carrying it high, carrying it, I don't know. What is the idea of carrying it from here to there? So, Rishus is apparently the, when it's creating the source of Maisa, it's used it's building it on Rishus. But it could have done that by another Rishus also. Could have done that by other Malachos. Could have just said, put these kind of limitations. And it wouldn't say from one Rishos to another Rishos. It couldn't do that because there's no such thing as that. But I guess it would say in a certain Rishos. Okay. In Rishos. Special in Rishos. You know, I guess it could be we'll revise this. I think this is a good idea so far. Okay, but let's look a little further in the Ramban. Let's get some shot. We'll set up for tomorrow. Okay? So he says like this. V'kashalcha. Okay, I see V'kashalcha. It's right after this part where we read. Okay, V'kashalcha. Maybe let's kash on Tosfos. Imkein lema lav yatzasa. That's Hara Shemano Onesh Menayin. He says, if you're telling me that Hotsa is really... And that's what he's saying you need a pasuk, by the way. That's what he's saying you need a pasuk. Because if we're really productivity, so then you don't need a pasuk. It's just productive. It's productivity of the Mishkan. But apparently he's telling you, no, it's not productivity. Forget productivity. Hotso is not Aser because of productivity. It's also just creating like a Maisa Aser. It's a Maisa Malacha. It's not following the productivity, but it's just creating like a Maisa Aser. So it's saying is im kein lema lav yatzas va social social. He says, fine, so now how do you know you get your chayv misa? Chayv misa, the chayv misa is for really for violating, for doing real malacha, the productivity on Shabbos. But now you tell me this is really, forget the productivity, just the maisa isser. So now maybe it's only a lav. How do you know? As you see, it's separating it out from all the other malachas on Shabbos. So now who said this maisa malacha is going to have the same halachos onesh chayv kskila as the rest of the malachos? Okay, as the rest of the malachos. Who said it? Okay, so he says maybe you'll say yeshavashla. You could answer. Kivan shayis of a mishkan. Since it's in the mishkan, ve'ashkechan dekapir ala rachman abalav. Ve'asrachman. You see, the Torah did aser it. So hodger lachol shem malachos shayim mishkan. So it goes back and it's included with all the rest of the malachos that are in the mishkan. In other words, really, if it was just a lav, you would know. But really, it was in the mishkan. But you'd think it's not a malacha. But now the Torah tells you, you know what? Include that also. So now it takes on all the properties of the regular malachos. But he doesn't like it. But he doesn't like it. All these things, the whole thing he doesn't like. Okay? I mean, we're going to have to answer that, Kasha. But that's what he's... Well, the question is, what's his Kasha? But what's his Kasha and what's his answer? And why? How is Tosis going to answer that Kasha? Right? I mean, Tosis apparently isn't bothered by that. And the question is also, it's funny how he's putting this whole thing into Tosos, because Tosos didn't say all this. That's also a problem here a little bit, you know? I mean, is he holding this is what Tosos held? It sounds like he's going off on Tosos' thing, but now that he's elaborating on it in a way that Tosos didn't quite do. It's not the way we learned it, because our Tosos didn't say all this stuff. Oh, that's what I was saying. When you asked Gary what we did the other day, I don't know that necessarily what Tosos held. I mean, this is the way the Ramban's elaboration on Tosfos, you know?
Right.
Okay. Okay, then he says, so now he's going off the Tosfos. Now he's saying, really, you don't need two pasuks for Otsa, the Ani, the Baal Bayis. The two pasukim are not for the Ani and the Baal Bayis. Okay? That was the whole premise here, is that, you know, it's Tosfos' premise. She'ilu Kain, because if it really were two pasukim, have a manin on the Baal's Malachas Batarti, Prince Rabbanim. If you really need two pesukim for the Ani and the Ashir, then it should be two separate malachos. One for the Ani, one for the Ashir. Sounds a little difficult. I don't know exactly why it would be two malachos, but so he's saying, if you really hold you need two pesukim, then it should be two malachos. Right? So he's saying, but therefore he's concluding you don't need two pesukim, you can learn Ani from Ashir, Ashir from Ani, the same thing. Big change. Okay? Elam, he says, why need two psukim? Elam, shun di katsu rachman achad, have min ala lav yatsas, vein ba misas bezin. Kach shon al katsu lavi al chal sham alachos. He's saying, so why do you need two psukim? Is to teach you that you chayiv misa also. Not only is it also, but even chayiv misa. Okay? Which is, what's his problem? How do you know chayiv misa? He's going to tell you why, because you have another pasuk. Okay? Then he says, the kach shon al chal, maybe you'll ask, lom amonos al chal shtayim. So now that he knocked the feet off of the Ani Asher thing, so why does the Mishnah have it as two? Okay. So basically, you can read through this thing. I don't want to read it now, but if you look, it's a little cryptic to figure out what he's saying. But the footnote explains, and I think the Rashba spells it out more thoroughly. Is that he's saying is that the two things with Ani and Ashir is because you would think that there's a difference between bringing an object towards you and pushing an object away from you. You'd think that it's only Hotzah when you're pulling it towards you, not when you're pushing it away from you. Okay? Because that's really the idea of Hotzah. The Iker Hotzah is when you're pulling it towards you. I mean, that's the thing. You want to use the object. So you made the Chilak once. Okay? Someone made the Chilak, right? Or you did also. Pulling the object towards you. So the thing is, the Ani and Ashir, he says, are talking about, because the same case, so the Ani and Ashir, are taking the object, you bring it one way or the other way. He's saying, one guy's bring it to him, the other guy's bring it away from him. He's saying, that's why it's Mechalik to two. To show you that there's no, that they're really the same. So, you'll say you need two psukim for that. Right? Apparently he holds it, because there's no two psukim for that. Apparently he's holding, you don't need two psukim for that, but the Mishnah still has to list them separately. Which is strange. I mean, if you tell me they're really different, then you should really need to limud them. If you tell me they're the same, then why does the Mishnah have to list it as two? Right. Mitosus was saying is, since the psukim have it as two, the Mishnah has it as two. Right? But, he's saying he's only two pesukim the way the Mishnah have a teacher to you. But he's saying that's what he's saying it to Stone. See, that's why the Mishnah does it. To show you that these are both included, but you still don't need a, you know. Apparently, Tosus didn't really need to mention those 2 points. I mean, I want to compare and contrast these things that Ramah's talking about in the, you know, in Tosfos. You know? What about the Onesh thing? How's Tosfos deal with the Onesh thing? Because these are cautious. This is a whole new approach. He's saying, forget the whole thing on Yanashir. Onesha you don't need. They're obviously exactly the same. Why should the friendship between Oni and Ashir? Rather, the psukim are for the Isser and the Onesh. And then also, the Batani and Ashir is just because we're bringing towards you away from you. But you know, you're posting for that, but it's just what that, you know, it's explaining it to you. It's strange. You can look at the footnote on the Ramban. You'll see this last part, which I skipped, is a little cryptic. It's hard to figure out what he's saying exactly. But don't get bogged down by his comparison to the Tumah. Because he's bringing in a problem, which we didn't do those facts. But you'll see. You look at the footnote. Look at maybe if you want, you can look at the Rashba if it's hard to clarify. The question is, what's this whole, this new approach? What's the idea here? What's the main idea? Let's see if we can fit it into what we're doing today, earlier, you know.